Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Warriors.
This is Ryan.
This is Jeremy, back again.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. Sherlock is here too, making himself a nest. But this is going to be the official show for the month of July 2022. So we're going to talk about some news and some gossip. We got a couple of rounds of gossip, one short, one a little bit longer. And we'll talk about some new releases and some movies that are and games that are coming out in the month of August. Going to be a good one. Let's get into it. New game announcements. I have three that I sent you guys. Well, two. One of them doesn't have a trailer yet. But Kirby's Dream Buffet is coming out this summer.
Fantastic.
So they got, you know, another like 8 weeks left to release that one.
Hey, it just looks like the mini games of Mario Party.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the Goron races in Majora's Mask.
Oh, yeah. It does kind of do that.
Yeah, and I thought it...
Those are hard.
It was hard, yeah, to get that gold powder so you could upgrade your sword, but you got to make sure you get the two rounds of gold powder, because if you can upgrade it to the razor blade or the razor edge.
You wanted the gilded, though.
But you wanted the gilded because the gilded is persistent. If you use the razor edge and you reset time, it's gone. You got to go get more gold powder yet again.
I thought it broke after, like, X amount of
pieces. It does also break. You are correct.
Okay.
But if, for some reason, you reset time before it breaks, you just lose it. It's not like... You wouldn't be able to upgrade it once, start a new round, and then upgrade again for your gilded. You got to do it all in one go.
Yeah.
But that's got nothing to do with Kirby. But Kirby does use a sword at times. But this is I've heard it compared to Fall Guys. Some people saw the trailer and compared it to Fall Guys. I've never played Fall Guys. I don't know.
Not really, but kind of.
Wes says no.
I can see where they draw that comparison, but not really. Because it doesn't look like it's an elimination kind of thing. It's just... Mostly like play through the round. Whoever did the round the best wins that round.
Right, that's the thing with Fall Guys. Like if you fall, you get eliminated from the competition.
Yeah, whereas, that's it. Which you can keep watching if you want, or you can just quit and just queue up for another go.
You can watch your defeat. You can savor it.
Yeah, just watch other people. It's like who's gonna win? Like who cares?
Yeah, but it's on cakes. Kirby again.
Well, these cakes look delicious, by the way. Like this is a game like you can't play on an empty stomach.
Yeah, they always nail it. Whenever they do like dessert,
how delicious this game looks.
Terrain, yeah, it's great. Mm. But yeah, it's downloadable only. They haven't announced a price point yet. I can't imagine it's going to be too expensive, but maybe a cool little racing game to play for a few hours and then move on with your life. I talked about a game a couple of weeks ago called Fuga Melodies of Steel. That was the one with the animal children, the anthropomorphic animal children in a tank.
Yeah, that sacrifice themselves to do a mega attack.
Where you sacrifice them to do like the one hit kill. Yeah.
It's dark. I watched a video of the scene when you first do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dark shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. No.
Wes is against child sacrifice.
Right. Okay. Which is a hot take, I think.
It's very bold. Very
like you can play through the game without sacrificing everybody. I think your first time through, you're obligated to do it one time. But like the second time through, you can do a new game plus and play like a perfect run through and not sacrifice anybody.
Like I watched the video and they set the one guy in there with the hat. And they're like, we did, we won. And they open the chamber, it was just the hat. They're like, where is he? Where he is.
Where he is! Stand by it. That was the official translation. Where's he is?
And he's just like, I found his hat. I'm like, this is fucked up. Like,
so I guess he just left. Yeah. No, not like a corpse, because like they're extracting the soul and using it as an energy projectile within the game. Yeah. But like there's no body left.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's getting a sequel. It's getting a sequel coming out.
So it's using like kamikaze tactics as a legitimate gameplay mechanic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, but see, the thing is, you have a very limited pool of characters. Like, you wouldn't be able to finish the game.
Because you got like Emperor Tojo, right? You're gonna play him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, you got Ryu from Street Fighter,
of course.
You wouldn't be able to finish the game if you were using the one-hit kill soul cannon mechanic on every boss that you encountered, because you have like a pool of 10, maybe dozen characters throughout the game, and you have to have like a minimum of 6 just to do the basic operations of fighting the battles. But yeah, that game's getting a sequel. No release date yet. Not even a trailer for that one yet.
Good, more child sacrifice.
Yep, gonna keep on.
Maybe it'll be adults this time.
Or maybe it'll be on an aircraft carrier. Maybe they'll change up the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Instead of firing a beam, they just drop a kid out of the car, out of the just, hatch just, in the bottom.
Just hold this stick of dynamite and walk over there. The other one that I sent you guys the trailer was a game called Tsunami. It's I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but that's a TBA release date. That is the 2D pixel art looking one. Kind of looks a little bit like Celeste in that you're doing like this acrobatic platforming.
Like Celeste meets Katana Zero.
Or like a Bionic Commando, because you have like the slingshot or the hookshot mechanics to it.
A wonderful game.
There was that Flint Hook game that did a lot of those hookshot mechanics. You guys never played it.
Well, I played a little bit of
your... I liked Flint Hook, yeah.
It was randomly generated.
Yeah, it was a...
Whereas this one, I looked, and it is actually like a bespoke level. So it's not like randomly generated.
I think there's too much going on the screen with the pixelated art for me to follow it. I think this is going to be...
A little too busy for you?
Yeah, I think this is a little...
Going to get a little bit of that motion sickness?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't feel like having a puke bucket next to me when I turn on a game.
That's only for when you're, you know, at the movies.
Yeah.
We got some release date updates. The Cowabunga Collection is coming out at the end of August. So we're four and a half weeks away from that. It's going to be great. We're a Turtles podcast now, so we'll be...
That's fantastic.
I'm have some more forward. Content for that.
I can't tell you how excited I am to play the original Game Boy Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I played that so much as a kid, and I haven't played it since.
That's going to be a really cool one to look at.
I remember loving it.
I remember your childhood. I don't remember. Your childhood is going to be ruined.
No, people still maintain. There are a couple other Nintendo podcasts where I've like heard people talking about this game because they played it recently. Like IGN's Nintendo podcast, they had a guy on there that has played the game recently. And to be fair, like this guy does really like retro games. But he still said like this game is well built. The levels are well designed. So...
All right.
I don't think like you can just outright say it's a Game Boy game that way. So therefore, it's going to be bad. I think that there are still really good Game Boy games.
Game Boy had so many good games.
Mm. We're still talking about them on the Retro Show.
Yeah.
So, Dio Field Chronicles. If you guys remember that one, that was the one that Square Enix is doing. It's like a real time strategy tactics game. That one got a release date for September. There's a horror game, Yomiwari Lost in the Dark. It's like a top-down, almost isometric horror game. That one's out in October. And we got a release date for Bayonetta 3. That one's out October 28th.
Sounds cool.
So, very cool. I'm really excited for Bayonetta 3. It's going to be really good.
Now, the one before that sounded pretty cool, too.
Oh, the Yomiwari? Yeah. There's actually also a...
Did you guys have to play that game Darkwood?
No, you showed us that one, though.
I love that game. It was so fucking cool. But yeah, it's a top-down horror game. It's very weird to think that that's like a, you know, you don't really think of that kind of environment for a horror game. But
Yomiwari, there's also a previous game. I guess it's like a series now. But there's a game in the series before this one on the Switch, and it's like a top-down pixel art, almost Zelda-like horror game, which is cool.
Nice.
But I've never gotten around to trying them out. Bayonetta 3, we did also get some, we got, of course, new gameplay footage, we got some new information on some of the modes, of course, like, different difficulty settings, but then there's also going to be, I think they're calling it the Innocent Angel version, where they've toned down some of the nudity.
Hmm. So, oh.
You don't have to play in that
if
mode.
If you're going to turn anything down.
and it's funny because, I guess the developer of this series, Platinum, they were asked in an interview if Nintendo told them that they had to have some sort of version. It didn't come from Nintendo. They just decided, like, no, we'll just do a more tame version of this on our own. So,
yeah. I don't think I've ever played a Bayonetta game.
They're, like, really high-energy action, not really platformers, but I suppose almost like...
They look like Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Devil May Cry a lot.
Similar to Devil May Cry, a little bit more combo intensive. Like, you have to string together combos and move. Like if you were, like, to cross Devil May Cry with maybe, like, a fighting game, because there are, like, you know, quarter circle attack and...
Oh, yeah. In that sense. Like, Devil May Cry still have their combos in order to build up your style meter.
Right.
To get up to, like, the S and everything, but not, like, quarter halves and stuff like that. Mostly, like, up... Strong attacker.
Yeah, forward, back. You do like different sequence of buttons. But yeah, Bayonetta, a little bit more technical requirements. Some other news. We got a new Switch model announced. a new Switch OLED model announced. This is different. It's a Splatoon themed one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was. This one was really funny because, like a few days before they announced this Splatoon edition of the Switch OLED, here's a picture of it. If you guys want to take a look.
That's just a dog's asshole. Why are you showing this?
What does it say Switch HD right there, though?
Every Switch is in HD. A few days before they announced this thing, Nintendo like posted the video with them, made it private. So like the conspiracy theories roaming around, like, oh, here we go. This is when they're going to announce the Switch Pro. And of course it didn't. The Switch Pro is not real. There would never be one. But yeah. Goodbye, Splatoon-themed Switch on August 26th, if you want. You can get it 2 weeks before Splatoon 3 comes out, if that's your thing. I know.
You getting a Splatoon 3?
Yeah, I'll probably end up getting Splatoon 3. I got a lot out of Splatoon 2. I don't know if I'll get as much out of Splatoon 3 just because of like all the games coming out in October, and I'll still be playing Xenoblade. But I got a couple of internet friends who would like to play Salmon Run, so I'm interested to see how they handle Salmon Run in Splatoon 3, because in Splatoon 2, it was only open on certain days at certain time of day. Hopefully they open it up a little bit more.
Why do you think you'll still be playing Xenoblade 3 come October?
Because I'm
2 months away.
Because I'm never going to stop playing Xenoblade 3. That is just a game that goes on forever. So, what else we got? There was an update to Super Mario Strikers. Daisy and Shy Guy are now playable.
Fantastic.
I mean, the Shy Guy edition is pretty fun.
Yeah. I do like the character Daisy, because she just announces her presence no matter where she goes. My favorite character in Double Dash is Daisy, because every time you swap driver, mm-hmm. she'll say, "Hi, I'm Daisy," and it annoyed the shit out of Dez. But, gospel or gossip, you guys.
Oh, boy, here we go.
They announced the next playable characters, Yoshi and Drybones. Gospel or gossip, did I make that up, or is that real?
That's got to be the gospel. That's got to be.
Yoshi and Dry Bones?
That's got to be.
I think it's gospel, but I think they should have some balls and have a character like Boo, who has no feet.
Boo was in the Wii Mario Strikers game.
Yeah. It was originally in it.
Yeah. Hmm? You know?
You got a guess?
They weren't cowards.
They weren't cowards, they released advanced
ones. They were not to be trifled with. This game. I'm kind of surprised Yoshi isn't already playable.
Mm.
So I guess I'll say gospel, because
he's like 2/3 feet.
Yeah,
it is gossip. Yoshi is already playable.
Oh, come
on. And yeah, Drybones, they have not announced. Drybones has been excluded from
That's not how you do gospel. This isn't actually. This is
no. See, here's the thing. If there are no Nintendo rumors, you guys say, why is there no gospel or gossip? Just make things up. And then I made something up, and you're like, no, that's not how you do it.
See, that's actually crap. That's not gossip.
Wes is in charge of gospel or gossip from now on.
So there's a podcast that I really enjoy called The Low Post. It's by this guy, Zach Lowe. It's just about basketball. It's really enjoyable. But his like thing that he gets called out for saying too much is, oh, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to just say, oh, by the way. So now, like, every time he says it, he's instantly ashamed of himself, because he knows everybody is going to follow him, is going to trash him for it. So it's sort of like
free drinking game. Come on.
Yeah. So it's kind of like our actually,
mm-hmm.
in a way. Or the not to be trifled with.
Yeah. What a time to be alive.
What a time
to be alive. We have our phrases.
We do.
Yeah, that's only on the one show, what a time to be alive.
I can bring it to the other ones.
We are weak and desperate people.
Nintendo bought a movie studio, fellas. This is not gospel or gossip. This is something that I think the deal closes.
Is it Dimension? Are they going to make the Scream films?
It is not Dimension.
Okay.
I think the Weinstein Company already owns them.
Oh, damn it.
They're buying the Japanese CG animation and motion capture studio Dynamo. I think the deal closes on October 6th. And they'll change their name to Nintendo Pictures. They have done a lot of motion capture work for games like Persona 5, Nier Replicant, Death Stranding, and they also did CG graphics for a Ghost in the Shell series and Studio Ghibli's Earwig and the Witch. And they also worked on the Pikmin shorts that Nintendo did.
That was a Ghibli movie?
Apparently.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they will now be making like feature length films using Nintendo characters. I think it's far more likely that we'll see like the product of their work in games and things like cutscenes and shit.
I want a shot for shot remake of the film Rocky, but with Lil Mac.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. And Doc Lewis. Lewis is Mickey.
Oh, he's in it for sure.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Nintendo, call us.
Yeah, we get all the ideas here.
Yeah, but every single boxer in it has to be drastically different race. And as stereotypical as
just,
you can get.
Yeah, just actually, like the Rocky movies.
Yeah, that would make a really fun montage, just him just beating up all of the other people in it.
King Hippo and Soda Popinski.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be brutal.
End of list, that's all I know. Mike Tyson.
Isn't there Bull? Wasn't there one named Bull something?
Oh, yeah, Bald Bull, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glass Joe.
Glass Joe is like the first guy.
Don Flamenco.
Yeah.
Piston Honda.
You know quite a few. Who's the tiger guy? There was like an Indian dude that had like a little tiger hat thing.
It might have just been named Tiger Eye.
Maybe it was.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, he was one. Like, he gave you the audio cue of when to block.
Yeah.
Anyway, neither here nor there. They own a movie studio now. How about that?
That's cool. I think that's great.
Let's see. Gospel or gossip, you guys.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Here's the big one for the week. And this has to do with a new F-Zero. I'm going to read you something that was posted on a legitimate gaming website verbatim. Gospel or gossip, fellas.
Wait, before you do this, was it actually posted or is this going to be unactually?
This is not something I've made up.
Okay.
This is a rumor that is going around.
See, that's gospel or gossip.
You don't get to make the rules. So, internet sleuths have discovered a private Twitter account with the handle F0JP that appears to be associated with an official Nintendo email account. This has led to speculation that Nintendo is preparing to announce a new F-Zero game for the Switch sooner rather than later. The account name is just a bunch of A's, which is identical to the Super Mario Brothers 35th anniversary Twitter account that was discovered recently as well. This could lend credibility to this F-Zero Twitter account being legitimate, but it could also be considered a hoax, so fans should keep in mind before getting their hopes up. But if it's real, it's an indication that Nintendo may be planning to host a Nintendo Direct soon.
So, is the question of, are they actually going to do this, or they're not going to do this, and this thing is a...
Is a new F-Zero game legit, is what we're... going to decipher gospel or gossip here. Now, that paragraph that I just read you was from a legitimate gaming website.
Okay.
Here's also something from The Escapist magazine. So I'm going to find the appropriate place to start here. So Nintendo News leaker with the Twitter handle Psylux, which is a Metroid reference, claims an F-Zero announcement of some kind is in the works, though perhaps something small. Psylux, this person, was recently interviewed in a podcast where they offered a cryptic message, said something in binary, which translated out to the letters YGBP. Some people took that to mean you got boost power, which is a phrase from F-Zero. And then this person who vomited this shit out subsequently acknowledged that this interpretation was correct, but people should manage their expectations. I don't know if you guys can tell from my inflection, I think this is total bullshit. You guys have any opinions on this poppycock?
I think I will climb atop that cross and tell you it is gospel.
Okay.
We have an F-Zero game incoming. Everyone be so excited to play it on your Switch Pros.
There we go. You heard it here.
Your Switch Pros.
Breaking news.
It's a property they don't really do much with. So
it's true.
It would be kind of interesting to see if they decided to... And they and like one of their most successful games ever is like the fucking... Mario Kart game. Mm-hmm. So people like these racer games. Maybe they would like this.
And we're kind of bleeding into other news here, but they did also, just a few days ago, announce the next DLC pack for Mario Kart 8, which is going to include a couple of courses from Mario Kart Tour, as well as a couple of courses from Mario Kart Wii and Mario Kart DS. But then they're also making an original course, a brand new one, that is going to be all in like the Zero-G mode for Mario Kart 8. Which, that's kind of F-Zero's thing, is that you're in Zero-G. And now they're just doing that in Mario Kart. Hmm. So, I mean, is there room in the world for F-Zero? Sure. But do I believe that internet sleuths have uncovered an imminent reveal for an F-Zero game because of a Twitter account whose name was just a bunch of A's? and that some guy named Silux was interviewed on a podcast dropping hints and binary. Oh, come on. Like, this is dumb. This is really dumb. And like, we usually don't talk about this shit, but I think it bears mentioning that it's the height of gullibility to jump onto the internet and read this absolute dreck and say, like, oh yeah, that's totally believable. Believable? This private internet account with the handle F0JP knows something? Fuck the fuck right off. Jeremy, your thoughts?
I was going to mention the binary thing because that's just ridiculous.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is tin hat foil wearing shit.
This is a gospel. It's happening.
I think you're just got to get ready for Skyrax here to slam dunk on you.
Silux
here.
This is what's going to be. It's going to be a little thing.
So did he, like, in the podcast that he was interviewed on, did he say, like, 101100? Like, did he actually say it in binary or?
Yeah.
It's just...
Who are these people? who are these people that just go around saying this stuff, but who are the people that believe them? This sort of shit gets published because people are afraid they're going to miss out on the scoop. They weren't out in front of it.
I hope this shit is real. I want John to be so wrong and angry for no reason.
We're going
to
ignore the game's existence entirely.
I hope this shit is real.
It's not true, though. Yeah.
It's going to be real, but it's going to be like some kind of cheesy downloadable only game for like $5. So it's going to have an F-Zero tag on it. Yeah, it's a new cell phone game.
It's going to be like an F-Zero crane game where you're getting like the capsule toys that has like the different pilots in it.
Yep, this is going to happen, and you're just going to be like, well, shit.
That would be amazing, though. Nintendo, call us. F-Zero capsule toy game. We got this.
Jeez. Well, it's so half-assed, too. Like, do you guys, by any chance, remember this thing that happened a few years ago called, like, the Cicada Conspiracy?
Yeah.
Like, where there was, like, a bunch of...
Oh, yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah, like, they were basically sort of trying to, what would you say, recruit people that are good code breakers, or essentially find good code breakers, not necessarily, like... There was like this clandestine underground operation to find the best code breakers. I think it was just a couple of guys that were in the industry were looking for talent and were like, I will give you a job if you're good at this, you know. But it involved doing all kinds of weird stuff with images and things like that. It sounds like what we're trying to do is foretell the coming of a new HD F-Zero game. You know, I don't know. It's my hopes are up. It'll be fun.
Okay.
And, you know, just for you to be wrong and just, you know, eat some humble pie.
It's never happened before.
I'm not a fan of racing games or the F-Zero games. I'm just not. But God, do I hope this is right.
You're just a fan of me being wrong.
Just to piss you off more, I hope this is right.
I'd be excited. I'd buy it.
Air.Q is going to be one of the drivers.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. This is how rumors get started. I'm going to jump on 4chan and get that one going.
It's going to be a Mario versus F-Zero race game.
Okay. Well, we do need to close out with some sad news here, fellas. The Choco Taco has been discontinued.
Oh my gosh, why did you just drop that?
Yeah, Klondike has discontinued the Choco Taco.
That's devastating.
They're done. They're insanely pricey on the secondhand market now. There's black market Choco Tacos. I don't want to live in this universe anymore. Yeah, Choco Taco is done. I mean, maybe someone else, like, not Klondike, maybe Nestle. I don't know if Nestle owns Klondike. I don't know. Maybe somebody else, like, picks it up or, like, has, like, an off-brand thing. But, yeah, no more officially Klondike-branded Choco Tacos. They're done.
Dang.
And everything we love is dead now.
Now, here's a question. Why did they discontinue the Choco Tacos? Did it do badly, or did they just, like, no, it's time?
I don't know. I think, like, there's been... Maybe it's got, like, something to do with, like, more, like, macroeconomic things, like supply chains and shit, but I've noticed, like, a lot of, especially food companies, like, consolidating the variety of things that they're doing. Specifically with, like, dessert stuff.
Well, I do see here that the ownership of the brand has fallen into the lap of Taco Bell.
Okay.
So if there's anybody that will cheaply give you food.
So our lives are in Taco Bell's hands now.
Possibly. I don't know.
Oh, just like in that, was it RoboCop?
It's weird.
Demolition Man.
Thank you.
It's weird to see, you know, ice cream giving you diarrhea.
I mean, it depends on like your tolerance to lactate.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I don't tend to lactate.
Okay. Wes is very dismissive of people who are lactose intolerant. We see you, all of our people with IBS.
Yeah. We hear you.
Well, I mean, I think it's like 70% 70% of people are to some extent lactose intolerant.
Right, right, because we haven't been consuming milk as a species for very long.
In that's the why Asian cultures virtually never use it.
That's spicy milk.
Well, the point is, like, it's the opposite of spicy. So milk is like not a very acidic substance.
Those are Jim Gaffigan jokes.
Yeah, I know. I know where you're going with this.
But yeah, that's a real bummer, man.
It is.
Choco Taco.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I've never had one.
I'm going to see if Natalie can try to, like, you know, backwards engineer one.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Any other novelty foods you guys miss?
So there are, a couple of things, actually. I've been thinking about this. There are these chocolate-covered cherries that the chocolate company Dove used to put out. And usually, like, their chocolate is very, like very milk chocolatey, which I don't tend to care for. But it was very smooth. And, you know, you put it around a cherry and it was a winner. But, yeah, those got discontinued. I even emailed them. And I was like, hey, when are they coming back? And they were like, they're not.
Ouch.
And then I got sad.
Yeah. How did you get this number?
I even, like, gave the phone to Mika because Mika liked them too, and Mika was like, "Please bring back the cherries." And I hung up on her.
You tried to guilt trip a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
I will fucking guilt trip anybody to give me the candy I want. The other thing was Rice Krispie Treat cereal.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, the stuff was delicious.
Oh, is that gone?
It's gone.
Yeah.
That's weird. Last time you were here, like, 3 years ago, we had some.
Yeah.
Can't find it.
I specifically remember loving the watermelon Laffy Taffy with the seeds in it.
Oh,
that had the little fake candy seeds in it.
Mm.
You know, that was a real winner for me. And of course, Crystal Pepsi was for real.
Yeah. It came back for a little bit.
It did. For a hot minute, it was back. And I got a bunch of it. And I drank it all. It's like, no self-control.
And now it's gone.
It's gone.
The Crystal Pepsi Blue. I really love Pepsi Blue. Mm-hmm.
That sounds just vile.
Because they know Coca-Cola can't do Coca-Cola Red. It'd be too weird.
It would be weird. You'd be like drinking carbonated blood.
Yeah. We'd be fucked up. Wes.
I can't really think of anything. I always go back to Surge, even though that stuff is vile.
Yeah.
But Burger King does sell it now. So
do they?
You can get Surge
if
you wanted to
have
a heart attack in your car.
There was that brief summer, though, when Surge was around and 7-Eleven was doing Surge Slurpees.
Oh, hell yeah.
And oh, God.
That was...
That's right. They did do that back in the
what
day.
What a time to be alive.
When you
that
have
was
a
also
heart
the
attack.
Same time there was a 200% increase in car break-ins.
Oh, we need to discuss the difference between correlation and causation.
I don't know.
You have a brain freeze and a heart attack at the same time.
Worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Choco Taco is no more.
Yeah.
As is the news. No more news. That's the end. We got some new releases that came out. The Cuphead DLC came out. That was actually the tail end of June. But I played through it. It was only like 8 total bosses. And more of what you expect from Cuphead. Very infuriating. I didn't remember if they did this in the original mode, but like they would allow you to play through the levels on a simpler mode and then on the normal mode. And our buddy Brian in the Discord group said there's a harder mode, but I didn't see it. Maybe you had to access that through a root menu or something. But you could play through on the simple mode, but then like on the little... Like, they raised the flag that you completed the level. It didn't have the icon on the flag. So what I would usually do is I'd play through the simple level just to get some practice and then play through on the normal one.
You wuss.
Then I'd play through on the
normal.
You
just go normal.
No, you got to warm up.
That's how we did it.
Yeah.
And how many times did we die of that stupid dragon?
That's how America does it.
That's how America does it.
a lot of times. And the most infuriating thing about Cuphead is not like... the actual difficulty of the bosses, it's like at the end, they tell you how far you get.
Yes.
Rather than giving like a health bar, they're just like, no, we're going to tell you after you die how close you were to the end. And so many times I was fucking right there. And I played through it a little bit more judiciously than I did the original. I just like, was like one boss a day, I'll get it down. And sometimes it would take me like as little as 20 minutes, sometimes take me as long as an hour to actually get through these bosses. But yeah, I think it was $10 or $15, if I remember correctly, for the DLC.
That's worth it.
Yeah.
The game's great.
Totally cool. Let's see, Klonoa came out as well. I already talked about both those games. I don't think I need to delve any deeper on Klonoa. There was a Baldur's Gate game, Dark Alliance 2. That one came out on the 20th. Coromon came out, you guys. That's one I've been looking forward to for a while.
Have you?
No.
I don't even know what it is.
It's Pokemon clone. It's the pixel art Pokemon clone. Not Nexomon, not the mobile phone game. But this is a one that was not made for phones.
I didn't try. I've been playing Monster Sanctuary. There's a Pokemon clone out there.
I noticed that you had
Monster Sanctuary. I went back to Monster Sanctuary. I got a little further than this time.
Yeah?
Yeah, the last time.
You didn't finish it before?
No, I didn't finish it before because I got lost and then my team just fell off, was completely in our garbage, and I didn't know how to fix it.
You're like outclassed or something?
Yeah, I just didn't have a good strategy or a good structure to the team. And this one, I'm doing better in it. And I'll talk about it in the mini show a bit.
How far are you? Do you have like a progress meter? Does it like let you?
I don't know.
Monster Sanctuary?
Yeah.
It's sort of like you unlock the different areas of the map. Mm-hmm. Again, it's very Metroidvania in its approach.
I don't know because I don't know what the end of the game is. I couldn't really tell you. I'm supposed to collect these particular items, but it didn't tell me how many of these particular items there are, so I don't know.
Oh, it's 8. You got to go to each gym.
Oh.
You're talking about the same game, right? Where it's like you collect the monsters and you level them up and like you play 3 at a time, or it's like...
Yeah, 3 at a time and you get the 3 in the bat extra.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a very much a Metroidvania style thing where there are different colored parts of the map that you can unlock with different abilities that you get from the ones that you collect. Kind of in a way like the way that HMs were gating you off, but more like in, again, the Metroidvania style, like finding this new monster allows you to do different things. Like
the moves are sort of inherent, or the keys to the gate are inherent to the monster. Kind of like if, like, in order to get through a bush in Pokemon, you had to have a psyker who could cut things.
It's more like Golden Sun. You know how Golden Sun, each of your guys had their particular thing to, like, make the plant grow or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every monster has, like, a pass, map ability.
Okay.
Like, one helps you levitate, so you can levitate and go a little further. One helps you move quicker in the water and, like, sink down and move around in it. One just moves faster. One breaks walls. You know, shit like that. And so, like, there's a koi fish that helps you swim in the water. And when you get the koi fish, then you can go to the next area because you need to go under the water down these other paths and shit.
Yeah, there's the one who leads and the one who does machines.
Yeah.
But there will also be, like, a strong... Like, there are also parts where there's, like, strong streams and you got to swim through those. So you need sort of, like... the next level of that same ability.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, is that something you can get by, like, evolving the one you already have, or do you have to find something new that has, like, the...
Well, there is evolution, but not all of them evolve. And even on some of them, based on what strategy you want to use in the combat, you don't necessarily want to evolve one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the sort of thing where it's, like, a Pidgeotto is inherently going to be better than a Pidgey. Evolving it into the next form doesn't... Yeah, like, the original form still has its benefits and its own uses.
So it's really a matter of which form do you want to use more than this form is going to be better. And even then, it doesn't tell you which ones can evolve, and you have to find the item that will evolve it. So you have to even figure out, is this item evolving this particular monster?
This is, again, as we talk about this, I'm reminded of how fucking amazing this game is.
It's
this
really game is good so game. Much
fun. It is everything pizza of what we like about Pokemon.
Every monster has its own skill trees, and there's different strategies you can really implement based on those skill trees. And then using those skill trees, this monster with this particular skill tree, with this other monster with a particular skill tree, can unlock this whole big spiel of combos and shit. Like, I'm using a poison incinerate build right now, so I'm just stacking burns and poisons, and then causing it to buff myself with shields by every burn on the guys, and just watching them die slowly. Like, it's a lot of fun watching this.
Nice. Because
I'll do very little damage, all of a sudden they just lose half their HP. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely wonderful.
It's a great game. Oh, my God, so good.
So what we're saying is, play Monster Sanctuary instead of Coromon.
I'll take a look at it. I can see on Pokemon clones.
Okay. Let's see, Live Alive came out back on the 22nd. I am a good way through that game, about 18 hours in. Most places are saying it's like 20 to 25 hours, so I'm probably getting close to the end at this point. This is a little turn-taking RPG in the 2D HD art style, as Square Enix likes to call it. Looks like Octopath Traveler, Triangle Strategy. The sort of crux of this game is that it's divided up into chapters, and you can sort of flip back and forth between chapters, you know, when you save and just exit and go to somebody else's story. These are not interconnected, at least at this point. I haven't seen any sort of interconnection between any, but there is a chapter where you're playing as this a ninja who is infiltrating an enemy fortress, and you can choose to, you know, try to do an entirely passive run and not kill any of the enemy grunts, only go after bosses. As you're infiltrating, try to be really stealthy, or you can just go on a kill everyone run, and it will affect the way that things play out toward the end of the scenario.
Like Dishonored.
Yeah, 100%. That is a game I'm very familiar with.
Nobody likes my game. That's the problem with doing podcasts with you guys. You guys don't like my games.
I love your games. Your games are great.
You want to try Dishonored?
No. I'm playing live alive in Xenoblade. So then there's a chapter where you are playing as this, you're playing like through ancient China is your time period, and you're playing as this sort of monk-like hermit who has these this particular like fighting style, and he's like looking for a successor to take up his mantle when he dies because he's aging. So you go and you find like these three recruits, and depending on how well you train each one, like that one becomes the successor, and you play through sort of the end part of the game with that character. There's a
scenario. Can it be any of the three, or is like story wise it's going to be this one?
It can be any of the three.
Okay. So you kind of like, based on how you play, you can get the one you want.
Yeah, and there's one who's like a speedier kind of striker character. There's one that's a heavier character that's got more HP and a little bit more defensive. And then there's one who seemed kind of useless, but maybe he would have been the best of the three if I'd actually trained him up. I didn't bother. There's a scenario we're playing like, through an Old West situation where there's a gunslinger and you can go into town and... the town is about to be under attack, so you are recruiting the townspeople and like scavenging for items so that they can set traps, and the more traps you set successfully, the fewer battles you'll have to go through to finish out that scenario. You can have like the traps take care of them for you. There's a scenario where you're playing like the distant future, you're playing as this little robot dude, you're on a spaceship, and that doesn't have any mandatory battles until the final boss of that scenario. There's like this little side game that you can play, basically like a computer game within the game, to fight some battles if you really want to. But that one, you're pretty much like walking around and finding the right like next thing to interact with. It's more of an adventure style scenario.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, there's one in the near future where at a certain point you get to like control this big mech and battle enemies inside this big, really powerful mech, which is great.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to go to the near future where you had to keep your kid out from going to prison and not get the almanac and...
Oh, sure.
There's giant shark.
Yeah, yeah. It's your kids.
It's your kids.
There's one where you're playing like just present day, and like the present day scenario is just basically a sequence of 7 or 8 boss fights. And what you want to do is, like, when they use one of their signature moves against you, you're kind of like a blue mage. You learn it, and then you can use it against the other ones.
That's pretty cool.
So, like, the ideal way, I think, to play through it is to, like, repeat these boss fights until you've learned all the skills, and then you, like, move on and take out the final boss. And then there's one, like, in like prehistoric, where there's no spoken dialogue. Everyone just kind of pantomimes everything because it's, like, before language. And that one's a bit tedious because everyone's pantomiming everything, and sometimes it takes a while for the animations to play out. But the battle system is persistent through all the scenarios, even though they don't really interconnect. It's on a grid, and some enemies are larger and will take up multiple spaces on the grid, but all of your attacks and your skills and techniques will have, like, some of them will hit multiple enemies within a radius. Some of them will like attack diagonally, some of them are ranged and will hit like far away but not close up to you. So you got, there are elemental alignments and like attributes to your attacks, like this is a slashing attack, this is a blunt attack. And enemies will have strengths and weaknesses. So because none of the scenarios are very long, like more than 2 or 3 hours, the battle system never really gets very complex, as long as like you're using your best moves or your best moves at the time. It's not a particularly difficult game to get through. But yeah, the battle system is good enough, but I think because a lot of the battles feel very much the same as the ones you fought before, it makes the game really feels like you're playing it a long time. Like there are times where I'd be playing the game like, oh, I really, I fought a few battles. I moved, progressed a lot through the critical path of the game. I must have been playing for a while. Oh, it's been 15 minutes. Okay. And the game does really move at a really snappy pace. So that probably contributes to like deceiving you into thinking you're playing longer than you actually have. But yeah, I'm about to, well, once you get through like the seven initial chapters, it unlocks an eighth one, and I'm pretty sure there's something after that as well. And the eighth one's like a medieval chapter where you're playing through like this knight and his mage buddy, and you're going around and recruiting like the old priest and the hermit character into your party to go rescue some member of the royal family. But it's cool. It's a cool game. It looks really nice. I got a really cool visual style, like the diorama backdrops of the pixel art characters. Really good soundtrack. Yeah, it's a really interesting game, and it's a good one to like play in bite-sized chunks. So, okay, over the next like day or two, I'll play through this chapter, and then a couple days later, play through another chapter. So it really lends itself to portable play, which is good. Let's see, Azure Striker Gunvolt came out on the 28th. I haven't gone to that one yet. That's like the Mega Man-ish one that Integrates does. I'll get to that one eventually, but I got too many other things going on right now. And Xenoblade 3 came out on the 29th. Wes, you haven't started it yet?
No, not yet.
But you have it?
No, I do.
I have started it.
Took the film off, opened it up,
smelled it, tasted it. It was like 2 days ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it came out on Friday. It's now Sunday, so I've put about 8 hours into it so far. I'm not going to bore Ryan with this.
Only 2 hours of actual gameplay.
I don't want him to make fun of my game.
I'm telling you, we got to just give him Xenoblade 2 to play through that one.
I will not be here.
To see the look on your face.
A couple of years ago, they were like, Ryan, you really should play this game. You're going to love it. And I kind of tore it apart.
For an hour.
40 minutes. Yeah, yeah. 40 minutes.
It hurt me. It was an intense podcast.
It hurt me.
He broke one of the stools.
I used to have three.
It's okay, though.
I don't think
2.5 out of 5 stars. Good game.
I'm not going to get into details. Me and Wes will do like a big breakdown of it.
You can talk about it. Like I don't mind if you want to.
If it feels like we're going to go on for like an hour, we won't put you through that. Thank you. But
you're toppling and breaking and smashing of things or whatever.
I don't think you'd like this one. You didn't like the first one, and so far what they've introduced of the battle system in Xenoblade 3 is very similar to Xenoblade 1.
I prefer Xenoblade 2, though.
Me too. And I think that
I think Ryan should play it.
No, there's auto attacks. He won't like it.
Did they make like a 10-hour version of the game I could try out? I just don't want to chunk 40 Torna. Hours into something.
Torna the Golden Country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could play Torna.
That's got the good battle system in that one too.
Yeah,
but now it's still very much like you're doing your auto attacks, and there's cooldowns for your special attacks, and you're putting together your combos, your break topple days.
How long was the cinematic yesterday?
A long time.
It's like 15-20 minutes.
There's like a 15-20 like minute
episode.
Yeah, there's a 15-20 minute episode. Where, you know, they're like all the main characters are like meeting each other. They existed in two factions before. And then there's a boss fight. And then there's like another 10 minutes of cutscene. And then another boss fight. And then another 10 minutes of cutscene. And like, oh my God, game, just let me play. And then there was like right at the start of the game, when you're first like, here's gameplay. There's probably like 10 minutes of cinematic before that, which wasn't too bad for an intro of a game. But they're like, okay, you're in control now. Go that way. And I was like, no. This is a Xenoblade game. I'm not going that way. I'm going to go whichever way I damn please. So, like, I turned around and ran the other direction. And one of the characters in my party, like, I slammed into a visible wall. I couldn't go any further. And one of the characters in my party's like, it's not that way. It's the other way. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. You go to hell. I want to go wherever I want to go. So
immediately removed all their equipment.
I just got to what I think is probably the end of the first round of tutorials, because they've taught me a lot of stuff, and I think they're doing a better job of for people who are new to the series of gradually introducing mechanics and having really accessible tutorials if you want to review anything. And they're not like Monster Hunter tutorials where they're pages long. Nothing against Monster Hunter. Sorry, Wes. But they give you a lot of information dumps in the form of text.
All at once.
And if you really want to absorb it all, you really got to sit there and read it thoroughly. Whereas the Xenoblade ones is just like one page. Here's the thing you need to know the most. But what they did in like Xenoblade 1, Xenoblade 2 is when there would be something new, it just like flashes a screen and you're like, hey, there's a new thing in the tutorials, go read it. I think they do a better job in this one of like for newer people guiding you into like, okay, here's the new thing. You're going to have to use it in this battle. And then if you want to review it, go look at the tutorial. The one thing that I think all video games should do, Xenoblade included.
Double jump.
Mm-hmm. And, yes,
and... a fairy to yell at you whenever there's something going on?
No.
Hey! No. Listen!
Double jump and the two things they should do is just when you start up the game, when you click new game, the next question should be, have you played a video game before?
Ooh, smart.
And then, like, calibrate what they tutorialize, because there was a point in Xenoblade 3 where it was like, hey, we're going to teach you how to buy items at a shop. I was like, oh, come on. Like, every other tutorial I could tolerate. Like, yes, I will tolerate you showing me how to break and topple an enemy. I know how, but I understand why you're showing me. Don't tell me that how to buy items in a shop. Come on. Mm-hmm. This is silly.
I'm going to tell you how to walk in this direction.
Push the analog stick. Try it out.
I'm going to tell you how to swim. You walk into the water.
It's the same as walking. That's how you swim.
I forget which movie it was, but there's that great line where David Spade's talking to Chris Farley, and he's like, it's teaching him how to read, and he's like, you go left to right, up to down, groups of words make sentences, sentences make paragraphs. Good luck. This is probably Tiny Boy.
Or maybe Black Sheep. They did a couple movies together. But yeah, I mean... I am, of course, liking it. I think I'm getting to the point where I'm clearing most of the tutorials and I'm finally getting to more open areas. The first big chunk of the game here has been pretty on rails, kind of leading me through corridors. I'm looking for like the bigger, more open spaces. So I'm hopefully getting to them at this point. The party's all together. I'm starting to mix and match like job classes. Like it's something that I'm at a point in the game, they're requiring you to mix job classes, which I think is good because it's Xenoblade's a series where if you ignore one or two aspects of it, you're going to be missing out on a lot of the things that are going to make your characters good.
Any oddball, quirky classes so far?
So far, no. It's pretty much just been healer, tank, DPS. But we'll see.
And there's two different of each.
Yeah, there's like a tanky character that's going to absorb damage and a tanky character that's meant to like draw aggro but evade.
Is my boy Ryan there?
Ryan is not there.
No. Yet.
Yet.
Although we do think it's in his world.
Because everyone's British?
I'm not sure. Everyone is British. There is one...
Okay. That's the good thing about the first scene I'll play.
There is a playable character that's got like a... what is it, like a middle American accent? Not like a Southern or like New England, but just kind of a basic American accent.
Okay. Interesting.
Which is new to the series. It's fun. Everyone else is somewhere from the British Isles. Mm-hmm. And... yeah. To be continued. There were a few games that were added to the Nintendo Switch Online, NES, and
Super. I have a game to talk about.
Oh, stand by, because I'm not going to spend any time on this. It was Kirby's Avalanche and Fighter's History and Divya 6. Anyway, never mind. What's your game? Nobody cares about these games.
Well, okay, so technically, I guess by release date, it came out June, but it came out June 28.
Okay.
I got the Portal Companion Collection.
Nice!
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, apparently it plays at 60 frames a second, 1080p on the Switch, so neat. It's a game I've already played, but I absolutely loved it to death.
The cake is a lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of just how little dialogue and how funny every little bit of it is. Like, I've only had maybe a few hours into it, so it's kind of progressing through the levels where you sort of are kind of... you just wake up trapped in the environment and you've got to kind of just go through the obstacle course essentially as is presented to you by the test trial, you know, and then from there you sort of break out of it. This was there is no Half-Life 3, right?
So,
yeah, there's Half-Life Alyx, but there's no Half-Life 3. And I think that everyone should just be happy that Portal exists. Like, oh my god, this game is so much fun. Mm-hmm. This game really is great, and it is good for the Switch too. I think that it's I've talked about this for years with you guys, of like, why aren't they on the Switch? And it's always been Portal, like, should. And not only that, you get Portal 2. You get both games. So
what was it, like a $20? Something like that?
Very modestly priced. I want to say maybe 24 to 29-ish. I don't even remember what I paid. It wasn't AAA titled.
Yeah, well, I stuck this one on my wish list. I want to get to it at some point before the year's over.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, the big hook in the game is the Portal guns, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if that isn't obvious to anyone, if someone's been living under a rock.
Yeah, it's like a first-person puzzle game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I played a bit of it. I never got through it, but I played a bit of the game.
They're originally, what, 2007, 2008?
Something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the George W. Bush administration. But they're not long games.
Like, sure, let's compare this.
Actually, yeah,
it dates it.
A friend of the podcast, George W. Bush.
October 10th,
2007. He's making a portrait for you.
Oh, thank God. That'll whitewash his war crimes. All his paintings.
Yeah, so October 10, 2007, the first one came out, and April 18th, 2011, Portal 2 came out. Mm. So, yeah. Absolutely would recommend this game. If this is a blind spot in anyone's gaming history, they should absolutely play this game.
Very good. Royce, you got anything you need to mention?
Nope, I've just been replaying other games and trying to find stuff to fill the time till Xenoblade.
So, it's out now. Got any business?
I was replaying a game I found on a browser emulator. So, Lords of the Realm 2.
Oh yeah, I remember that
which
one.
Which is a DOS, like, 1996 game.
Yeah, it's a strategy.
Yeah, turn-based strategy, medieval sort of simulator.
You're like developing your little county.
Yeah.
You're growing your army.
Yep.
You're trying to grow your population, you're developing your castle, you go and invade. Do you even have to like play through the actual fights?
No, you don't have to. You can simulate them, and you tend to do better than the computer. Mm-hmm. As a player when you simulate it.
But it's just like a matter of raw numbers. Like,
yeah, basically. And there are some sort of, if your army consists of mainly peasants and their army consists of mainly swordsmen, mm-hmm. even if you have like, you know, three times more, you're still going to lose.
Right, but as long as you have like a standing army in your county that's fully garrisoned with archers, you know,
you're fine.
Yeah. Very safe.
So, but yeah, no, because I was wondering about some abandonware, so I started looking at, found a browser-based emulator that would do DOS games, so that was fun.
That's fantastic. So,
more of those, please.
Yeah, Nintendo.
Someday.
Let's see, Harley Quinn season 3 came out, you guys.
Oh, I haven't started it yet.
It's good. It's exactly what you'd expect from.
Is the whole season out? Or
no, first three episodes, and then they're doing episodes every Thursday.
Like one episode every Thursday, or
yep.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to just drop them all, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'll let it build up before I prefer to binge watch that.
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
I'm rewatching the seasons anyways right now. I'm almost done with season 1 again.
Nice. It's a lot of Harley Quinn shouting and everyone else rolling their eyes at her.
Yeah. Yep,
good stuff.
That's what we want.
So other movies came out. Oh, we already talked about Minions Rise of Gru. Big thumbs up to that one.
You can't shake your head. It's a podcast. They don't know you're shaking your head.
That's just for you guys. Anybody see Thor?
I haven't seen it yet.
No, neither have I.
I saw Thor.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was okay.
That's the spirit.
Good, moving on.
what would you say about it? I'm even trying to think if I have an opinion on it. It's totally fine. It's acceptable.
They brought back Natalie Portman, right?
Yeah. She's totally back in it. Oh yeah, didn't we already talk about this? I feel like we did talk about this.
Maybe.
But yeah, maybe off air. Like, it's another Thor movie, and I really don't like the MCU all that much anyways. Mm. I think that it's awesome that Christian Bale is in it. He is
That's right.
Total badass. He has a thing called a Necro Sword, so he's just out there doing it for real. Like, it's good.
I heard it's a good villain.
Yeah. Really, really like his character. And his arc, too, in that he's just not just the bad guy. That he's not just some, you know, one-note villain.
The Dark Elves from Thor 2.
Yeah, right. It's like, no man is just one thing. And this Gore guy, he's pretty cool. So, I liked him. I kind of wish he won. But no, it's okay. It's fine. I guess if you like the other Thor movies.
Well, now I know that he doesn't murder Thor. Dang it.
Yeah, he tries to damage.
Spoilers.
I guess it depends on your definition of winning.
Did you guys watch, what was it? That Ted Lasso? Did you guys watch Ted Lasso? Mm.
No.
Nope.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, there's a show called Ted Lasso that's really popular.
It's on Apple TV, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Ed, I was going to say that they are teasing that a character from that show was going to be in future installments of...
Like, as that character?
No. Just that he's a really fun actor, and everyone really likes his character in Ted Lasso. Mm. He's going to potentially be, I guess, a villain? Maybe upcoming, or at least like a, what would you call it, an antagonist.
Okay.
A heel. In future Thor movies, perhaps. So, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And like, there are some fun sequences now that I think about it. It's okay. It's all right. But that's all I have to say about it.
Cool. I watched The Gray Man, which is that Ryan Gosling.
Was that good? Movie. I want to watch it.
No. No, it was not. So I set you up for what sort of movie this is. So the opening scene is, and I'm not using the word literally, figuratively here. I'm using the word literally with his literal intention. The movie literally opens up with a fight in a fireworks factory. That's the movie you're watching with The Gray Man. And, you know, kind of similar to The Professional in that he's this sort of socially maladjusted character who then goes and kills people for money. A little bit of, like, The Fugitive, because he's on the run from... Or like, The Bourne Identity, where he's on the run from the government organization. He's like, he's got something they want. A little bit of Enemy of the State in there, too, because he's Will Smith, and he's got the thumb drive with the secrets on it or something. I don't know. This was thoroughly uninteresting, and it's pretty much just watching it all for the action, and I don't care. I don't care at all. And Ryan, you saw Nope.
Sure did.
Thumbs up?
Oh, it was fantastic. Again, this is one that I don't want to spoil anything about. If anyone does go see it, they really should.
I wouldn't care, because I don't plan on seeing it.
Okay. So I think there's a lot of really interesting stuff. There is, as Jordan Peele does a lot of time, there's another layer, another subtext to everything that he's doing in mm-hmm. his movies. There is commentary, but it's the wonderful kind of commentary that makes you maybe think you understand what it's about, and then later on find a totally different meaning for what it all was. Not that it invalidates your first way of thinking about it either. It's just really, really, really interesting layers to the way that he makes a movie. Like, and again, if you've seen Get Out or Us, like, that's kind of his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, he has a TV show, or he did a TV show, I don't know if he's still doing it, but he did the Twilight Zone reboot, which if you know and seen that, fucking slays. It's really, really good. I love the original Twilight Zone a lot, and his new take on it is both modern yet traditional. It's very much a love letter to the original series while also giving some modern twists to it. So I like that. And Jordan Peele, like, he loves suspense and horror. And there's this little movie within the movie, in a way, that, again, I don't want to spoil any component of this. It's so cool how it plays out. But there is a non-linear story that's being told in which basically another little story happens inside of it, and it is fucking terrifying. Like, if the overarching premise of what it's about isn't truly horror and it just delves more into this sort of, like, suspenseful science fiction component, there is genuine, like, nails-in-armrest horror that happens in this movie that is just so good. Just so good.
We're seeing this, Wes.
I can't.
We're gonna.
I would absolutely recommend people check it out if you like science fiction or if you like horror. There's a, like, I feel like I watched, and that's the other thing I was gonna say about, like, I watched this trailer maybe 10 times in the theaters. Yeah. Because I've had this movie pass, this Regal movie pass, so, like, this is, like, the most tag-onable trailer to just so many kinds of movies. If you like action movies, you've probably seen this one. If you like horror films, if you like science fiction, if you like any kind of adventure film, like, it's the kind of, they could show it before Lost City, or they could show it before Men. You know, this had such broad appeal to basically everything that's not, like, a friggin' rom-com or period piece.
Yeah, they had it right before Minions.
I would be surprised if they did. But yeah, like, you can put it before, like, the Jurassic Park. I'm sure they put it before Top Gun, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's again, I feel like I saw this trailer so many fucking times. I was like, all right, they spoiled the movie for me. Like, how inventive could this be? Totally blown away by all of the neat stuff they don't really show you. They give you all of these out of context snippets in the trailer that tell you it's going to be a cool, weird movie, and then it totally pays off all of it. So,
very cool.
Big, big thumbs up. Loved it.
All right, real quick, let's wrap this up with some games coming out next month. There aren't a whole lot, which is fine because I'm going to be playing through Xenoblade. Wes, I put this one on for you, Cult of the Lamb. It's out August 11th.
God, I watched the trailer for this.
Isn't it amazing?
What the fuck? What am I looking at?
What a like, if I wasn't playing through Xenoblade and then also wanted to get through a couple other games, I would definitely like this game looks so fucking stylish.
It's got the art style of Don't Starve Together.
And it's top down.
Yeah, it's a top down, and it looks like that with the kind of art style and the way that it moves and the combat. Well, the combat's like fast, where Don't Starve really wasn't like that. But then it also slips in like a weird, like fucking, like Stardew Valley Farmville.
Like a town building
kind of. Yeah, like a town building, farm, grow some shit, feed your cultists.
Uh-huh. Cthulhu-esque.
Yeah, build the statue weird to the lamb.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so, I was not expecting this at all. Because when I was flipping through this, I didn't look at the names, I just hit play, and then I didn't, like, the trailer opens up with, like,
the cutesy animals.
The pig, and it's lost. The lamb saves him, and then it takes him back to its town. And you realize, this is a fucking cult.
Everyone's wearing robes.
They just buried a body. Like, what the fuck?
Run, pig, run.
I fucking love the premise.
This is so good.
Because, like, and, like, the things, like, that happen, like, you said, like, Don't Starve. Like, there's all this occult imagery throughout the entire, like, trailer is really good.
God, like there at one point where they're cycling through different levels, but it was just running up to this altar and having to fight some creature at an altar.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it looks so weird. Mm-hmm. It's so colorful and cutesy, and then just dark.
Yeah.
Just so fucking dark.
So the one thing about this game, Wes.
Yeah?
Procedurally generated.
Yeah, I knew it was about,
yeah.
It's a roguelite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, bummer.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Which would be the reason why I don't get it.
Right.
Because, God, I hate those.
I mean, I'll stick it on a wish list, and then maybe it's on deep discount sometime, give it a shot. But, yeah, I really don't care for procedurally generated stuff either.
Yeah. But it does look crazy.
Hmm.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Looks interesting. I mean, I'm always down for this, like, occultist shit. This mm-hmm. looks like a good time.
Yep.
And if the whole roguelite thing, you know, I just recently I just recently saw that the fresh save file runtime for beating Hades is now 25 minutes. So
nice.
You just got to get good at the game. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is just figure out how to play the fucking thing, and then it's not so bad. Sorry, go ahead. What were you
going? I was gonna say, I just hope it takes the Stardew Valley music and puts like in a minor key. And that's what it is.
Everything's a little bit off.
Yeah.
Wait, so when you say a fresh runtime, you mean like
start up a brand new game and then beat it in 25 minutes?
Is that the speedrun record or 25 minutes? God, fuck. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
The fresh file, they call it.
Ugh.
Because that's even without even unlocking half of the components of the game.
God.
So.
Well, what weapon were they using?
I don't even remember what they were.
Do they consider beating it, like a completing one run through?
Yeah.
Getting to credits?
Yeah, getting to credits. You know, not just like a game you've already beaten it multiple times, and now you're just trying to speed through it as fast as you can, but saying, like, I'm starting the game, but literally nothing.
But they're considering, like, because that game, like, you beat it multiple times through, like, things change.
Yeah, right, so I think, if I remember
but correctly, they're just, like, looking for one completion.
But you want to, yeah, like, to do it in 25 minutes, mm-hmm. like, the fastest way possible, is actually to lose a couple of times.
Okay.
To go through, unlock a couple things mm-hmm. really, really quickly, and then start the run-through that's going to beat the game.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
Have you been playing Hades at all? I really should. This game is fucking
I'll get to it eventually.
It's a roguelite.
I mean, if games ever stop coming out on Switch, yeah. I got this huge wish list, and Hades is on it. Blossom Tales 2,
nice.
The Minotaur Prince, is out on the 16th. I'm probably going to get this one, because it's a neat little Zelda clone. Yeah, a little more action.
And Ryan were very positive on this game.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cool, the first one.
It has a soft spot for me because it's actually one of the first games I ever got on my Switch.
Oh, nice.
I liked it a lot. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Solid action. A little bit more action heavy than a typical top-down Zelda. But yeah, really cool game. I don't really have any other thoughts on this one. I think I'm in.
Yep, same.
Cool. And then RPG time of The Legend of Wright. That's on the 18th. Talked a little bit about this one previously because it was on a Nintendo Direct. But this was the trailer with like the art book RPG. Remember this one?
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I think the gimmick would get boring to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be clever in how they're doing stuff and everything. I just think it's just going to get like a weird, boring gimmick to me eventually.
I wonder how long the game's going to be. Because I could see like maybe that being the case if you're trying to go for like 20 or 30 hours. But if it was like a tight 10 or 15 hour game, probably pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I like that sort of unconventional art style, unconventional premise when it comes to an RPG. But yeah, pretty cool. There's some movies coming out in the month of August, fellas. Bullet Train. Bullet Train's another one where I feel like we've seen the trailer a million times.
I want to see Bullet Train.
Bullet Train might be kind of cool.
I'm on board for that.
No. Yeah, it looks stylish.
I haven't seen Brad Pitt do anything in a while.
I was trying to come up with a snappy example. I can't think of one.
Lost City.
Oh, was he in Lost City?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah, he's got
Just
barely more than a cameo, I guess you would call what he did in that. And he's fun in it. He's really fun in it.
Deadpool 2.
That was great. I think that was my favorite performance.
Do you guess what is called facial blindness?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I wonder, is that something that, is on set, or has he always had that?
I don't know.
What is facial blindness?
It means that you have a hard time remembering people's facial features. Mm-hmm. You'll remember a person by name and by the stuff that they do, but you won't recognize their face.
Hmm.
You won't, retain that information.
It often goes along with photographic memory.
Yeah.
Because faces change so frequently, so someone who remembers things, photographically...
Faces. Subtle changes to a face, they overanalyze.
So you're saying Brad Pitt's secretly a genius?
No, photographic memory doesn't mean genius. It just means how your memory works.
Hmm.
I think he's tired of just being called an asshole for not remembering who everyone around him that's important to him is, and that he thinks he's such a big deal that nobody else is important.
I'm not mean, I'm sick. Leave me alone.
Oh, great, now he's the victim. Shit.
You guys, there's this movie Patton Oswalt.
I'm not okay with this.
Called I Love My Dad.
No, I'm not okay with this.
And oh my god, I'm 100% on board.
Oh, I'm not okay with this.
Right.
It's based on a true story too.
It's
fucked up.
It is really fucked up. So the premise of this movie, if you haven't watched the trailer yet, it's Patton Oswalt is kind of like this distant father. He only keeps in touch with his son through social media. I think this is probably like a bit of a period piece, as it were, like maybe like mid-aughts is where this is supposed to be set. But his son is sort of like dealing with the abandonment issues, and like I think like on recommendation from like a therapist decides to block contact with his estranged father, social media, phone number, all that. Patton Oswalt, the father, realizes this and catfishes his son in order to keep up with his life, creates a profile for himself as a young lady, and then his son then falls for this internet profile that he has created. And the trailer shows a lot of these moments, like how like he makes this work with like having different people have the phone conversation for him, like near misses where he almost gets caught doing these things, and like how he keeps on falling deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole of something that he started to stalk his son, and then things then go way too far. It looks so fucking good.
It looks so cringy.
Yes.
When things are that cringy, I just, oh God, that's not good.
It looks amazing. And you know, something we didn't mention on the retro show, I actually had it in my notes, but we totally skimmed over it. In July 2001, that's when the BBC The Office premiered, which was like one of the forebears of that sort of cringe comedy where like the awkwardness is the punchline.
Yeah. That's interesting. Did you guys by any chance see a movie that Robin Williams did called World's Greatest Dad?
I watched part of it, and then it got real dark, and I went, I'm walking away from this, and that's what I did.
Yeah, it's...
And he was at work at the time.
Do you guys know the movie at all?
I'm aware of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of, like it won't be that...
Well, that took on, that was more of like a drama kind of movie. This is a straight up comedy.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems, I don't know, maybe in that vein. But yeah, probably not so dark. I don't know, it's going to be good. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. And there's one more at the end of August called 3,000 Years of Longing. That's starring Idris Elba and Tilda Swinton. This is, oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. Miller, the guy who directed Mad Max and Mad Max Fury Road. Frank Miller.
I was having flashbacks to Everything Everywhere when I was watching this trailer. I was like, I don't know what's happening, and I'm hopeful.
Like, yeah, it does like have a very like ostentatious, ornate art direction. It looks like they're doing some sort of like
George, time, not Frank.
George Miller.
George Miller.
They're doing like some skipping around like with some period pieces. But basically the premise is Tilda Swinton is a lonely woman and she just finds a genie in a bottle and sort of dealing with the sort of moral dilemma of like she knows what happens. Like she's a person who has a genie who has seen or read books with genies in them. So she knows like the wishes that if she decides to make will have consequences that are unintended. But yeah, it's a really stylish looking movie. I doubt they'll have like big cars with people playing guitar at the front of them, like in Fury Road. But maybe we can hope.
Yeah, that movie was fantastic.
Witness me,
witness me, blood bag. But yeah, looks pretty cool.
I did catch up on one movie from 2022.
Go
bring it up real quick. Called X. You guys heard of it?
X. I have not heard of that.
It is. It is about. It's set in the 70s. It's from this guy Ty West, who makes low budget horror films. He made a movie called House of the Devil a number of years ago, which it feels like it was just straight out of the 80s. I've never seen a movie so faithfully feel like it is from like a 80s slasher flick kind of thing. And this is about a bunch of young actors and actresses in the 70s in Louisiana decide that they're basically going to go out to a cabin and film a porno, and that this is going to be their entryway into becoming big celebrities.
That's how it works.
Yeah, only to kind of piss off the locals. A traditional horror movie slasher film plays out from that moment. If you have an appreciation for like just the kind of way that a good horror film is shot and made, it's pretty grisly. And it's really, really good. Ty West just knows how to make a really good horror film. So I liked it. But if you don't like gore and nudity... and kind of despicable people, like you maybe want to pass on it. But if you like a good hard R horror film, you got it.
Good. I don't like the PG-13 rating. I think it should go away.
Yeah, you
should go hard R, every single one.
Yeah.
Minions: Rise of Gru. All right, very good. Next up is going to be the Pokemon show. We'll talk about some Pokemans.
Nice.
Don't know what.
We'll figure it out.
So fun.
Stuff's happening in Pokemon Go. If you guys would ever play it.
They have the anniversary going on for Pokemon Unite.
Oh, has it been a year or is that a 2 year? How long has it been out?
I have no idea.
I think a year.
Alright. Cool. The end.
So long. Bye-bye.